First, let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's Word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Father, just bless us now as we receive this word. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Let's go to Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12. Romans 14 and 12. We are studying the subject of faith. Can you say that? Can you say faith? Say it again. Say it strong. Say faith. Now, faith is very, very important once you believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's very important because the just, or those that are justified, or I like to say, just as if I never sinned, once you're justified, the just shall live by faith. God wants you to live by faith. So really, your life is tied to faith. And it's important for us to realize that God wants us to live this life in a successful way. Now, listen to this. Faith was so important, and living this life by faith was so important, that Jesus came here to give us life and it more abundantly. He left heaven to come here to make sure we would get the package. Did you hear what I said? Have you ever done that? Wait, you want to deliver the package yourself? You want to make sure if it's going to get there, you're going to make sure it's getting there. You know what I mean? I remember we were believing God for a piece of property, believing God for a piece of property and a house. And this lady that was she was actually the loan officer on the transaction, made a comment that made us have our eyebrows go up, because it was a nice piece of property. And in the process, she said, I should have that house. I said, you're supposed to be processing my loan. You ain't supposed to be trying to get your own. And so she said, well, you can just bring all the financial papers over to me and I'll turn them in. I said, I don't even know if that's going to happen. I take the financial papers to you, and all of a sudden they get lost. And I get a phone call. Well, I don't want to hear that. This was years ago. And my wife and I, we decided what we need to do is that we need to take those papers to the processing office in downtown Seattle ourselves. I ain't trusting you, lady, because you got some covetous stuff going on here. And so I remember driving around downtown Seattle, going around 5th Street, coming back around 3rd, and going back up 4th, and down 5th, and coming back, and dropping Kathy off. She jumped out the car with the package. She ran into that bank, put that thing on the main processing lady desk. We forgot that lady that was out here in Puyallup. We wasn't dropping. She's just bringing and leaving on my desk. No, I'm not. See, because sometimes you need to realize you're using faith and other people are not with you on that faith. We're going to get into the environment of faith next week. I've had to delay this because y'all need to receive this other part that we're getting. But we're going to get on the environment, because sometimes, I know, okay, I got it. You got to have the right environment. To conceive that child. Yeah, I ain't listening to me now. In love. Because a conception can happen, but it's not in love. And if God is birthing something in your life, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to make sure the environment's correct. So you don't need just anybody in your, well, Jesus, when he was healing people, he put people out. I've had to do that. Go to the hospital, and you got a bunch of people that know how much insurance the relative has. And some of you older folks need to watch this. You got folks moving in, maybe, because they know you close to kicking that bucket. And you don't need that, because you can live longer than they are. God is able. See, and so in no sense, you got to watch everything. See, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about you believing God's word. Not everybody believes at the same level as what you do. And sometimes we all people have to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe just like you. No, you don't. No, you don't. You do not. You despise me. You hate my guts. I believe just like you do, Pastor. I sure do. No, you don't. You jackleg joker, you. You don't believe with me. You hope I don't get it because it's going to make you look bad if I do. Using my faith. Not everybody wants you healed. Some people want you sick because they can't see you healed. You don't fit their mold. Sure got quiet all of a sudden. What happened to the hallelujahs? Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. We have to learn how to be excited about giving an account to the Lord. Did you hear what I said? You're going to give an account whether you want to or not. And last week we started talking about this accounting thing. True accountants are not your cousins. You don't get your cousins. See, for some of you, that's a flash. That's like, what? Cousin, Aunt Mary does my taxes all the time. I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about filling out a form. I'm talking about signing a piece of paper which your license is on the line for as a CPA. You don't just get anybody to do that. Somebody has to vouch for your honesty financially. And I'm not talking about money right now. I'm talking about accountability. And see, some of the reasons why we don't go as far as God would have us to go in faith is because we're not accountable. And it's an epidemic in the church now. I used to go to church. I used to have a pastor. Well, what happened? Well, I still believe in God. So the lack of confidence is not in God. It's just the Reverend Dr. So-and-so. I am not phony just because you've met phonies. I got to defend the pastors that's living right. You're not hurting me. By withdrawing from God. Just like you can't hurt me by not paying the tithe. God just tests the hearts in your basement till they're 49. Or thinking like they should be in your basement till they're 49. Give them $10. And tell them, okay, there's your allowance. Let's go get it broken up. This $10 bill. So we can get the tithe out and an offering. A dollar is tithe. Offering is 50 cents or maybe another dollar. Sure is quiet up in here. Because you're teaching them to be accountable. Not just to count, but be accountable. Because then when they start making $1,000 a week, they'll know what you do. Instead of saying, well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. I pay tithes. And you know, God put in my heart, it is crazy that we have people with two incomes, but only one of them tithe. So one stays cursed. I'll tithe next month. You can tithe the month after that. So you can be cursed 1 month. I'll be cursed the next month. It's stupid. That's halfway of obedience. It's your money. You made the money. You worked. You need to get blessed. You should be tithing and giving. I'm just talking about accountability. I'm not even talking about money. Why do you have to do that? You're not richer for it. You can't steal money from God and prosper. Why am I still on this? You can't do it. And you can't act like you don't make anything. $5 into the church. This is one half of one half of one half of one half percent of the church that I'm talking about. The rest of these folks in this church are so strong, tithers and givers. I'm trying to leave the 99 and go to the one. that's what the shepherd's supposed to do. How can you tithe $5? Are you living really, truthfully, off of $50 for 3 months? Don't even answer that, because your breath stinks when you do. You're a liar and your breath stinks if you say that. I'm just talking like we talk in the hood. You're lying. And got the nerve to put it in an envelope so we know who did it. And then go away and say, I gave. No, you didn't. You stole. Again. Now, I'm not expecting to convert anybody with this kind of excitement. I'm talking about accountability. Because you can't hide your bank accounts from the accountant and ask him to give you a professional report on your finances. Neither can you hide your life and expect to get in front of heaven, in front of God, and somebody's gonna say you didn't do all that you did do. See, somebody needs to bring us to reality. I've been elected. This stuff is really gonna happen. You are going. So then, each of us shall give account to himself, to God. Your cousin ain't gonna be there. Your wife ain't gonna be there. Nobody's gonna speak for you. It's gonna be, what did you do with the faith I gave you by giving you my word? What did you do with my word? I gave you my word, which is more valuable than any money. It's called the true riches. What did you do with it? I gave you the word week after week after week after week, week after week. I had a guy quit his vision for his own personal life to go into the ministry full time as a pastor to talk to you, and you didn't do anything with it. This is not what I wanted to do, but it's what God wanted me to do. I don't hate it. Because along with giving me the calling, he gave me a love for it. Which is weird, man. You love people like this? You know what I mean? Some people are not lovable. Some people, you got to love by faith. I hope there's going to be a good outcome. Because some people are not lovable. I sound like Dr. Price. Apostle Fred Price. So, if we know we got to give an account, we should really start now. It's like, when should I prepare to be married? 20 years before you get there. You shouldn't wait until, oh, I'm engaged. Oh, better act like I'm going to get married. Oh, the wedding's tomorrow. Oh, I better act like a spouse. No, you're supposed to be that way before you get married or stay single. Because anybody knows that it takes 10 years anyhow to get used to that stuff called marriage. Wake him up. This ain't the stuff you want to hear. We'll get to the hallelujah pretty soon, but not yet. Okay? We'll get the shout before we leave. But see, we have to be taught that God wants you to be accountable. He wants us to be accountable. So when he gives us the word of God, the word of faith, for any area, healing, deliverance, for your future, I know the plans I have for you to give you an expected end, a future and a hope, and you put your faith in that from Jeremiah, you need to know that God means that. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you to do you good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you put your faith in that. But if God gives you that and you just leave it to the side, see, we're studying about faith, but we're learning about being able to be accountable. You are accountable for what you hear. You and I are accountable. Let's go to a couple of scriptures on that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and 36. Now, I'm trying to help you. See, because we're not treating God as serious as we should. We just sort of just bumping him along. Yeah, I go to church every once in a while. I sit there, man. It's sort of tough, man. I'll be thinking about all this other stuff. Yeah. My golf game's pretty good, but I don't go on Sunday right now. But you know, football's coming up. Got to get my six pack. I don't mean in my chest. I gotta get my stuff. Sit back and see that game. You know they're gonna be playing. Your popcorn's all over the room. Your potato chips crunching under your feet. You yelling and screaming. The team's still losing. But we're excited about it. But see, every word, the Bible says here in Matthew 12, 36, every word. But I say unto you that every word, say every word. In fact, it says every idle word. Let's put that in the, let's go to the Message Bible. They're pretty straight. Let's go to Message Bible. It says, let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Cut to the quick. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Now let's read the civilized version. Go back to the King James. Let's do the 1,000 of those. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word, that means an unemployed word, a word doesn't mean anything. A word, see, we have to realize that the words that we use can change our lives. Yeah, verse number 36, please. Are we there? Okay, but I say to you that for every word men shall speak, they will, every idle word that men shall speak, they will give account. There's two places now we've seen about account. Now, have you sat around and just talk stupid? I don't even mean talk nasty. I don't even mean talk negative. I mean just talk senseless. Every word. You know what? I believe the Lord just wants to be able to keep us straight up by saying every word, and so we'll watch what we're saying most of the time with people. Every idle word men speak, shall they give an account in the day of judgment. Why? For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I like to say it this way. By your words, you get good. Or by your words, you get evil. In fact, that's what it says in Luke 12 and 45. Go to Luke 12 and 45. Now, I'm teaching about words because faith is built on words. But you can't just grab any harebrained word or any kind of crazy imagination you got and start saying that thinking it's coming to pass. It has to be based on the word of God. It's got to be based on the word of God. My goal right now is every day to listen, and been able to do it for a while, every day listen to the book of Revelation, the whole book. The Lord put in my heart, if you master the book of Revelations, which is the hardest book, the others will be very easy. So I'm mastering the book of Revelation. I was called in the book of Revelation. I was in the upper room, Baptist church right here in Tacoma. We're Baptist. That's where we come from. And I was praying whether we should get married or not, because her dad had moved her along with the family down to California because she was finishing school there, finishing high school and going into college. So I was praying, should we get married now? And the Lord showed me a vision. She was sitting on the front row like she's doing right now. And I was preaching out of Revelation 6:12 about the end times. And so this is part of my life, to be able to speak lifestyle and speak about these end times. And it's important for us to be able to realize that God wants us to be able to, that's not my scripture. God wants us to be able to go to where he is at in our own words. Not just say anything, but to say what he says. Truthfully, what we really do is that we borrow his words and say them. He said in his word, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you shall be saved. We dealt with that last week. That's really his word. But we take his word, put it in our heart with faith, and say it, and it comes to pass. My question to you, why stop there? Whatever you need, see, we start thinking object. Don't keep talking about the object. I believe I had a car. I believe I had a car. I believe I got that healing. No, talk about what he says in the word. Go to the substance of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Don't talk about what you're hoping for. Talk about what the word says about that. It's got to be explained. So many of us think that we're going to receive something because we say, I'm going to receive my healing. I'm going to receive a new car. I'm relieved I received that job. No, what word are you standing on? What word are you standing on to guarantee you're going to get that? Because just because you say, I'm getting me a new car, I believe I have a new car. I do believe. Like the cowardly lion. It ain't coming to pass because of that. It's coming to pass because you stand on the word of God. Okay, I got to take him there. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11 and 1. We'll come back to Matthew 33. Now, faith is the what? Take the word sub off of it. Faith is the what, then, if we take the word sub off, the part sub off? Faith is the what? Faith is what we stand on, then. Faith is the substance. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm going to have a faith for anything, I need to stand on the word. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, this is important for us to get a hold of. God wants you to receive by standing on the word of God. Not standing on, I believe I received so and so, such and such. I have a wish list and this is what I believe I have. No, you got to stand on the word of God. What is the word that tells you that you can have that? I just gave you one, for example. I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, that your soul prospers. So you can guarantee you can get prospering, you can prosper and be in health because you're standing now on the word. Not just, oh, I want my health. Ooh, I believe I'm getting my health. No, 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 no. Well, you have a right to that. Through what? Through what word? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Things and things. Nothing wrong with having faith on the things, but what scripture guarantees you're going to have it. You can't just blab it and grab it. You can't just keep saying, I believe. You can't do that. It doesn't work. That's mind over matter. That's not scriptural. But when you find in the word where it says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And you stand on that scripture every time you got a pain. You stand on that scripture every time your heart flutters. You stand on that scripture every time you go to the doctor, he says, you've got so-and-so. I had to tell my doctor, you were lying to me. I ain't got that. You got it. That's what I told him. I went in there, they tried to say, you got the problem. I said, you lying. I don't have that. You got it. And I said it just like that. And he looked at me, he backed up. He was like, well, maybe you don't have it. I said, no, I don't have it. See, because you got to understand, doctors pronounce people dead. That's what happened in COVID. They're a little nuts now. Not all of them, but some of them are a little nuts. Because they had death and life in the power of their tongue. And they would say, we're going to let this one live and this one is not going to live. Or this one looks like it'll make it. Let's put it, but that one, let's put it on a ventilator. 95% of people get on a ventilator and never get off. Your words being used through God's word is powerful. You can change things in a minute. Let's go to verse 33, Matthew 12. We're going to go home with this. So you can just take this home and... That's it. That's your lunch. Eat it for lunch. Matthew 12:33. Watch this. We looked at it last time. I don't want the Living Bible. Give me the King James Version. It says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. If you got a funky life, it's your fault. Don't look at me. I ain't give you no funky life. Well, it's the Reverend's fault. No, it's not. Not at this church. I've been giving you nothing but the word. Yeah. Something to stand on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So whatever I'm hoping for, I got to have something to stand on, and that's the word. That's all I give you. Amen. Don't come blaming me. You got a funky life because you ain't listening to what I'm talking about. But if you don't have a funky life, praise God, it works. My marriage could be raggedy too. Been married 52 years. It could be a raggedy marriage of 52 years. Instead of her chasing me around the house all day long. It could be, you know, she ain't thinking about me, I ain't thinking about her. I forget what her name is. What's your name? It could be funky like that too. If we didn't use the word in our marriage. Yep. What does that mean? That means when you get angry, you don't let the sun go down. Well, she did a couple of times. I did it once or twice. You don't let the sun go down on your wrath. See, you either make it. See, and this is what I'm trying to hand to you. I'm trying to hand to you your life. This is tough to do. I'm trying to hand you your life. It's sort of like all these Gen Zers now. mad at everybody because you're living in your mama's basement. But you don't pay no tithes, give an offering. You don't serve God. All you do is do your DoorDash. Don't look at me. Don't get mad at me either. And then, literally, they're getting angry at older people that have had some semblance of God. Now, I ain't talking about the kids in this room here. These people are serving the Lord. They're running the church. Most of them turn out to be the next leaders within the next month or so. But we're talking about a society that teaches us that you don't make nothing. It's what they gave you. They didn't give you enough. So now they want free rent, free food. I ain't get no free food. We ain't have no free food at our house. My dad was in the military with 6 kids on a sergeant's salary. We ain't get no free food. We ain't have nothing at the end of the month because he got paid once a month. We'd have a loaf of bread, he'd smash it up, stick it in a glass of water, say a glass of milk, say, eat that and go to bed, boy, and shut your mouth. We had to use our faith for something, even though we didn't know what faith was. But see, God wants you to not blame him. You either make the tree good. You can make your life good right now. You can change your finances today. You can change your health today. You don't have to keep living that way, or else I would still be up here not able to say, happy birthday to my wife. God changed that situation, and he will change your situation in life. You don't have to feel like nobody loves you no more. God loves you, and he will put people around you that will take care of you. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, it's in your hands. Or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. It goes both ways. Either way you want to take this. Either you can make it exciting or you can make it boring. We do that with church. Some people come in, they're on the edge of their seat. They can't wait for the preacher to start spitting on them. They're just ready. And then other folks, they sit That's why we got these ropes up in here. Keep you from falling off your chair out in the parking lot. Let me finish this right here. Next verse. Oh, generation of snakes, don't go there. How can we, or you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Continue. A good man. So there's 2 types of people. Out of the treasure. Stop! Out of the treasure. What do you treasure? It ain't gonna work. It's never gonna happen. They lying. The Bible says in Titus, to the pure, everything is pure. But to the unbelieving and defiled, nothing is pure. There's probably stealing. I probably will never get healed. See, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. How do you get the good treasure in there? You've got to come and receive it. Well, I need more money? No, I'm talking about the word. You have to treasure what you hear, not put up with it. The good treasure of the heart. I don't care how much you eat. You're not going to store it in your heart. I don't care how much money you get. It's not going to be stored in your heart. The word is what we take to heart. So a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart. Treasuring negative. It's not going to work. I don't believe that. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know if God really wants me to prosper and be in hell. That evil treasure will bring forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word, there it is again, that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. If you knew that every word you spoke, you're going to have to give an account to. I think we'd stop cussing. Amen. Amen. I think we'd stop talking about the church in a negative way. I don't think we would have roast pastor after Sunday services. I don't think we'd be talking about brother and sister. I don't know about brother and sister so-and-so. Because I don't know. If you knew God was really listening, and he is, every idle word, every unemployed word, every word. See, I'm just trying to give us an opportunity to get a check up from the neck up. To stop just talking anything. Because faith won't work if you're double-minded. You got to say the same thing consistently. You can't be hot or cold. You can't have a tornado in your head. I'm done. You can't have a tornado in your head and expect to have blue skies and sunshine in your life. You're going to have to lock into this horse. You're going to have to believe what the word says. You're going to have to get strong in the Lord. You're either hot or cold. We showed you that. Wednesday night, we were dealing with it. Hot or cold. You're either hot or cold. And we need to be hot. To where we burn up anything that's not. Because I ain't putting up with cold folk. And I don't want no lukewarm. Don't give me no half-baked Christian. Sitting here half the time you think about how you're going to get in the clubs and get out. The rest of the time you're ready to sing the song in the church. Ah, we got to get committed. We got to get some fire up in here. We need to be committed to the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to have something to show the world that this is what happens when you believe God. Because the world is looking for something. They don't know what it is, but it's sitting in your seat. They're looking for Christians that are real. I can tell them how to live this thing because they are messed up. But you're not, because God is with you. Say, God is with me. Come on, give God some praise. Clap your hands, everybody. That's all I can do. I mean, I can't really finish, but that's all I can do for right now.